Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, we are going to talk about finding strength together inside Pain Connections Men's Support Group for the U.S. Pain Foundation and Pain Connection. Our guests are Sarah Gehrig and Ryan Drozd. Sarah is the Assistant Director of Mental Health and Support at U.S. Pain Foundation and an advocate for those living with chronic pain. Having lived with pain for more than 30 years, she uses her lived experience in a variety of ways to help others with pain. She facilitates many chronic pain peer-led support groups, one of which meets daily, participates in clinical trials for chronic pain, and uses her story to support and validate others. Sarah lives in Wisconsin and has two young adult sons, Gavin and Connor. Ryan Drozd has lived with chronic pain and depression for over a decade. During this time, he explored dozens of treatment methods to discover unique ways to heal himself and others. Ryan created Sounds Like Rad LLC in 2024 to cultivate self-expression in his community and hold sacred space for others with guided sound journeys, drum circles, and spiritually oriented groups. Ryan is a sound healer, Reiki master, registered yoga teacher, chronic pain support group leader, and eternal student who leads from the heart. He encourages participants to journey deeply inward with unique melodies, rhythms, and harmonic tones during sessions. You can visit soundslikerad.com to learn more about Ryan's healing journey. Well, I got verklempt reading your bio, Ryan. So welcome to SpondyCast. I thought that was beautiful. You guys both are beautiful. I'll admit something that isn't easy to admit, which is it's hard. The work you're doing is hard work. It's not easy. Sarah, I'll start with you. Can you start by sharing a little bit of your role within the Pain Foundation and how you got connected into the Pain Connection?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here and talk about, this is my passion is U.S. Pain Foundation and working with the pain community. I got connected with U.S. Pain Foundation and Pain Connection is all of our support groups. That's like an arm of U.S. Pain Foundation. I got connected with U.S. Pain Foundation. I was at my limit, my breaking point with my pain. I just had done all the things. I had done everything I could think of. And I was at a high pain day. I was at my bottom with my pain. And I had Googled peer support before. I had Googled pain. And for whatever reason that day, I had gone online to do it again. And I saw that U.S. Pain Foundation came up that day, and there was a support group starting within the hour, and I went to it, and it was the participants there that said things that I was feeling, and it was like I had found home. I was home with these people. They were my people, they were my family, they were, I heard conditions that I had, they were all the, you know, it was, and I had to come back again. And I did a deep dive on the U.S. Pain Foundation's website, and I just wanted to learn more. I kept going back and back, and then I became a volunteer, and then I did their advocacy training, and then I did their peer support group leader training and became a support group leader for my state, and then I kept going and doing more, and then I finally became an employee too. So you just hear things at support group where you think, I must be the only one.
Yeah.
and it's community, it's connection, it's...
I hear you when you say, like, you found your family. That's, and it's so rare when we do, especially, like, when the more people I've talked to that are, particularly around pain, I think people don't always understand. It's a really hard place to find the light beyond everything else. So I get you. If I start crying, you know, just like, but I feel like these are really important. So you started a men's only support group, and was that to try and fill the gaps in the chronic pain community for men for any particular reason?
As we grow right now, I was just counting today, we have a little over 70 groups a month at US Pain Foundation. And we have a little more than that now because we do, we have some weekend groups too. As we grow, as the pain community grows, we gather feedback. We gather feedback by emails that come in, and we gather feedback. Our peer leaders meet as well. We have a peer leader check-in with our peer leaders. And so we gather feedback. And as our demographic of our men and those who identify as male, as that was growing too, we knew it was time to certainly have a specialized group with our men too. Our groups are broken down into state groups, national groups, and then specialized groups. So we really try to have, and that's one of our thing is we try to have something for everyone. And so this was part of that feedback of it's time. It's time to have that specialty too.
And do you, so I'm a feedback loop fanatic. So I understand like your collection of feedback. Did you guys zero in on a reason that men hesitate to seek this kind of support when they have a chronic condition?
Yeah, I'll refer to Ryan on this too, but what some of the male participants share is it comes from those cultural norms and social conditioning. This is just what I can have written down. I take copious amount of notes because I don't have the greatest memory anymore from my injury and stuff. The personal influences, the fear of judgment too, and the lack of safe spaces, I think, for men. There aren't a lot of spaces for them to go. That's just the different things that I had heard. And so... But I think I'll also refer to Ryan on this too.
You were going to get on the hot seat next.
All right. Thank you. So what Sarah said is spot on. It's similar to what I've heard. It's pretty much this fear that they're going to be judged for being weak or asking for help, and they're afraid to ask for help because it's seen as a form of weakness. It was really hard, I think, even for me to ask for help originally. When I first started my pain journey, I was kind of angry and frustrated with the care I was getting. The doctors I was seeing were kind of dismissive. And so I always felt like I had to be on guard and just defending my position and defending what I was living with. And I think a lot of men in groups have experienced the same thing. And they're afraid to share. They get to the point where they're you know, just kind of closed off, and they don't want to open up to anybody. So I try to be open and honest, as open and honest as the group rules allow. And I find that kind of breaks that barrier for a lot of men in the groups that attend.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a massive trust factor there. It's... I'm going to stay on script, but my brain is in place right now. In terms of for you, Ryan, in terms of the pain connection men's group. So are you the leader of it, or did you get involved? Tell me how this all came to be.
Yes. Life. Yeah, so I've been leading it for a few months now. Sarah had reached out to me. I forget when it was. I think it was maybe April and maybe March, and we just talked for a bit, and I said, yeah, I would love to. Like, I feel like it is an underserved community. Like, I go to yoga classes occasionally, like gentle yoga or light yoga. I'm usually one of two guys or the only guy in class, or I've gone to sound meditations and the sound journeys that I lead, and it'll just be me and it's a room full of women. And it's like frustrating for me to see that because there's so many men out there that can benefit from this kind of work. So that's really why I stepped into this role.
Yeah, that's amazing. But I would echo your data on like sound baths and yoga. And it's really interesting when you find men that are sort of like really grounded in that side of themselves. And I think of like the yoga side of like male female is very different than the way we think of it on a daily basis. But it's beautiful to see like show up in human beings and men. So vulnerability, maybe you agree or disagree. And I think for Ryan is like, to me, it's like a muscle, right? It's like we have to build it up to some extent to let it down. But how do you work on that in terms of trust and vulnerability, especially when people are new to the groups?
Yeah, it's really about keeping. I like to keep things light. I like to joke whenever I can, and I just am dead honest. Like, I don't like to sugarcoat things. I like to be very direct, very blunt. I feel like a lot of people respond well to that, versus, let's say, like seeing the sunny side of everything. I think that's fake to me. It feels like forced. So, I'll say like, yeah, I really struggle with this. This is really challenging. This is day to day, week to week. I really struggle with this thing. And I think a lot of people relate to that. And then once I can get a couple people to open up, it seems easier to get that group unity and cohesion together. So at first, everyone's kind of on edge. They don't want to open up or be vulnerable. And it also comes from, a place of ego in the mind. So the ego is telling us, it's not safe. I can't do this. I can't do that. So breaking that mindset as quickly as possible and saying, yes, like you can. It is safe here. I'm not judging you. I'm not here to throw out fix it solutions. I just want to listen to you. I want to be a witness to you and make you feel heard and seen.
I love that. It's I think it's so rare. I'm curious if you are able to share either of you, and maybe Sarah, you first, any really impactful story or result that you've heard come out of this group.
Yeah, sure. We provide a very, our groups are really structured. We're educational groups. We're not therapy groups because we are peer led. I do lead that daily group that meets every day, and we are seeing an increase in our men. And so, like this morning, I think I had seven that were there. And so I see them the morning after they're with Ryan. And so a few I write, like I said, I write copious amount of notes, and I prepared for this meeting with you. The few that I have heard are it's connection and community. It's connection and community. The next was I'm really liking being able to go and not have to pretend to be tough, as my culture says. I'm really liking being able to go and not have to pretend to be tough, like, as my culture says. I hope it continues to grow because we need this space. It's not always easy sharing.
Wow.
It's our groups take a while to get that momentum, and each I do the metrics at the end of the month for our groups, and each month Ryan adds a couple new each month, so it's growing. And I love that this person says, I hope it continues to grow because we need this space. It's not always easy sharing. And that's what's so powerful. Just like this one says, it's connection and it's community. And like Ryan says, he's one of two people that go to yoga, you know, that they need that community and that space. And that was so powerful. It's, you know, and I really like being able to go and not have to pretend to be tough, as my culture says. You know, those are powerful. So those are things that I'm hearing.
Ryan.
Yeah, I've heard one of the things is men are afraid to share with their friends often because they're seen as complaining and it kind of gets shut down. So in group, I like hearing the feedback like, oh, I never knew that people were dealing with these similar struggles. That's like something that's echoed again and again. So over the last few months, I think I had 6 or 7 participants and then 8, and now it's been like 8 or 9. And just hearing this, the same kind of theme or tone is, you know, I'm afraid to share with friends, but it's nice because I can come here and not feel judged and feel like I can share what I'm going through. Also with healthcare providers, they've said similar things where the stories are very similar, where they'll share something with a healthcare provider and maybe it'll be dismissed, or maybe it'll feel like they weren't getting something, you know, in terms of an effective treatment. There's one other thing I'm forgetting now off the top of my head, but I'll come back to it. Maybe I'll remember.
Yeah, no worries. I'm sure there's a lot running through those things. And do you think there's a lot of anger that grows out of not being able to express feelings about pain?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really where I started, was anger and frustration. It was like I would go to a new provider and I would have this maybe hope or sort of expectation like, okay, this is going to be the one, you know, this is going to be the person who's going to solve this thing and figure this out. And then I may not be 100%, but maybe I'll be 50% better. And I would just go from like doctor to doctor and just feel like I'm just failing over and over again. You know, I'm just like falling flat on my face. And so that was frustrating. And also, you know, expressing my concerns and then not feeling like they were heard. So that leads to a lot of frustration, resentment, and anger.
Yeah. It's the isolation part of it. It's the anger turns into so much isolation. And that's the beauty of our peer support. You come, and I wanted to mention, like, we never make anyone share that doesn't want to share. That's a big part of, if people just want to come and listen and just find community and connection and learn tools and strategies, that we never call on anyone. They can just come and listen and just be a part, you know. And that's a big thing, because I know sometimes I've gone to different things and I get called on and I don't want to share. I just want to be, you know. So
for sure.
That's what I forgot to mention. So thank you, Sarah, for bringing it up. That's what I had on my mind, is like I had an attendee and he didn't share at all. He just listened. He sat there. And maybe he'll share next time, I'm not sure, but not feeling that pressure to come up with a response. I really like that too. It has to be that open forum style. Like, it can't be this forced, regimented thing. You have to allow people to open up in their own time.
Yeah, and I think for some people I've been thinking a lot lately, even on my own journey of pain and having a chronic illness. And your perspective for both of you would be important here, is like, we can learn all day long, like, about the pain. We can learn what it functionally is supposed to mean. But then there's a big, big, big valley between sometimes understanding it, or like sometimes learning about it and really understanding it from our own experiences. And I'm curious, a little off into the weeds, but I'm curious, like, Ryan, for you, and Sarah, for you, Ryan, I know you've done a lot of work around yoga and Reiki and which I'm a big believer and I think can help a lot of us. But I'm curious if there is a place in some of those, I want to call them almost like coping mechanisms because that's how I view them. But I know they're more like a lifestyle in many ways. But like, if there's something in there that you have a nugget around that helped you on the journey to really understanding and bringing you to where you could share so much of your own personal, like you're sharing a piece of you, I think, when you do this kind of work. And is there something on your journey that like led you as you were kind of a seeker? I know that's a long question. Sorry. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think so. It's actually kind of a weird one. So right before becoming a pain support group leader, I was in like a major depressive episode. I was actually hospitalized. I had a suicide attempt and I did not think I was gonna, you know, live to see another year. So during that time, it was kind of like that loss of fear of death, I think, to me. So there was this, I never really had much of a fear of death, but that was just totally obliterated. And that drew me into seeing myself in a different light. So myself was kind of gone. Like I didn't really care as much what happened to me. And so I was looking at parts of myself, like my mind and my ego, and seeing how silly it was to protect these things that were vulnerable, you know, because stuff like how I appear to others is kind of meaningless in a way. So I know a lot of people hold on to how they look, how they sound, how they act. But I think that really that loss, just that loss of self and just like being totally down and out, led me to finding these breakthroughs and allowing me to share my story in a different way with others that wasn't always about me. You know, it was a message of hope, I think.
That's, first of all, I'm glad you're here. And I can't imagine that journey, but that is like, right. Do you think it's like the very base man in the mirror, or do you think it's the, just getting down to being like raw humanity is where you saw the shift for yourself?
Yeah, it was just, I think just experiencing a kind of suffering that I'd not known, you know, like obviously we all suffer in different ways. Pain creates a lot of suffering and sadness, but, depression's a different animal. You know, it was like feeling like I could do anything that used to make me happy and it would just be flat. Everything was flat. I was apathetic, you know, to the world. So it was just kind of being like, almost like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like crushed like to the point of being, you know, like into nothing and then coming out as like a diamond or something different, you know, something that could survive almost anything. That's really what I came out of it with, is this like feeling of invincibility, even though, you know, my physical body is doing not so well, you know, like for being my age, like I can't do much, but I don't feel as held back, like mentally, I'll say.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. I think it's a place none of us want to ever go, but there are, I think there are moments like that for a lot of people who find a way to help others heal that go through that, something like that. And you made me think, can I share a poem with you that I when you said, when you talked about your journey, I haven't thought about this in probably 5 years, but I found it on in the giant cemetery in Paris. And it was an inscription and it said, and this reminds me of you. I knew it would come to a place in my life for some reason at some time, but it was inscribed on the side of a tomb. It said, from time to time, there are days that outmeasure years and obliterate the past. They make clear from a view through tears. They are the days we create the future by the colors which are cast. Like, I just, that's what I heard you say to me when I asked how you got here. But I think it's true. I think it's like that diamond from ash, right? That's very moving. I'm sorry to take us off track. Sarah, can we put you on a similar hot seat?
I've lived with this for 30 years, and I had a fusion 8 years ago that, I don't like to say the word failed, but it did. And so I woke up in a new body, and it wasn't one that it was foreign to me. And I lost my career. I lost everything. I woke up in a body that wasn't my own, and I had to begin again. I could have gone, there was this path or this path, and I had to choose, was I going to suffer or was I going to turn it into something beautiful? And I just had to, because I suffered for 6 years and I was going nowhere fast. And I hit my bottom, and I had that same story as Ryan. I was going to make a choice that wasn't going to be the right one for me in that moment. And I was at my bottom, and I found the pain community, and I turned my life around, and I put meaning to what had happened. And my pain was my purpose, and it is my purpose to help others and use my voice. And it's what keeps me driving. And talk to the pain community, the doctors, the nurses, anyone who will listen to me, that, you know, I just use it. It gives me fuel. And, you know, my spine was, my body isn't functioning well, but my mind wasn't broken. You know, maybe I was broken, but my mind isn't, my mouth isn't, my knowledge is still there. And so that's what I want to tell people. Like, we're still here. Who we are is still in there. We're still love. And it's letting that, you know, like Ryan says, you know, we are, I think a lot of times when people ask, well, who are you? They think of their job, their car, their house, their whatever, but who we are is love and compassion and kindness. And that's who we are, not our job. We're not our car. You're not your house. We're not our pain. You know, we can help others and share that way. And that's what I had to do. I had to turn it. I wasn't my job, you know?
Yeah, it's, are there statistics on rates of death by suicide for people with pain?
Yeah, it's really high. I don't know for sure.
That is, I'm glad you're both here, by the way, because I know firsthand how people like you help other people make it through the day and the next day and the next day. Okay, let's get a little lighter. okay, so maybe this isn't the lightest thing, but like, what are the things you hear the most that people want to talk about when they get into the men's group?
It's usually about like identity. So like their new identity, just like Sarah was saying. So you have your identity kind of before pain, and then you have your new identity that either you're in the process of creating or you've already created. And it's coming to terms with that and accepting that, which is really challenging for not only men, women as well. But I think with men, a lot of our self-worth and our value is wrapped up into our work. And I know this is something that I still struggle with today. I've gotten better at it, but I wrapped a lot of my self-worth into my physical things that I could do. And then mentally what I was doing at work, I can't do the same things now. So kind of coming to terms with that, coming to terms with how relationships have changed with your friends and family. A lot of family members I've heard again and again, they don't understand. Like the parents don't understand, maybe the siblings don't understand. We have to constantly explain the same thing over and over again. Oh, so you don't feel any better? Oh, I thought you were, you know, doing better. And they think it's just like you snap your fingers and then all of a sudden one day everything's going to change and it's like a cold that goes away. But this isn't something that goes away. So I find that we talk a lot about just how our relationships are affected, how we are working around guilt, you know, by not being able to show up in the way we were able to show up, like to social events, like setting limits on social events, and really coming up with a new identity. I try to press that into parts of group whenever I can, because there's many people that struggle with letting go of their old self, including myself. You know, it comes up again and again where I'm like, man, I really wish I could play racquetball again, or I wish I could hike more and do these things outside and be active and play sports. So it's kind of seeing those as good memories and allowing them to be let go, but creating a new substitute that's a healthy substitute to add to this new identity, rather than just mourning and suffering and grieving that loss perpetually.
Yeah, there's I love the from coal into diamond, or like I think of it as the goo of the caterpillar, right? Like when the caterpillar and goo, and it has to eventually become the butterfly. And Sarah, you've been involved for such a long time. Do you think there are like, what are the biggest successes you've seen of people? Because I think you do have to shed your former self in many ways. You have to, and sometimes that requires shedding persons in your life and moving on. But I think you have to shed to be able to kind of grow through some of this. And have you seen people move from a state that like a, and both of you have clearly moved through it, move from a state of being in such acute pain and not being able to deal with it to really like thriving again? Do you see that pretty regularly?
We see, that's the beautiful thing. And I think they get to see it too, is when we see all stages, you know, and that's the, it's so beautiful when you see people come in all the stages, when they're angry and they, you know, but then they come and listen. And, you know, our groups are very structured. We have rules. We are, you know, we're educational. So we have a topic of the month. We have a, you know, vetted questions so that we don't veer off into the weeds. But yes, we see them come, and everyone is on all different journeys, spots of the journey. So they all learn from each other too. So we see people come all different parts of the journey. And the best part is when you see that they see how far they've come, and they keep, you know, and then they'll come regularly, and then they'll die off, but then they come back if they're in a flare, and they know how to care for themselves. They know that that's self-care when they need to come, and then you won't see them for a while, but then they come back when they're, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to see that they take those tools and tips and strategies that they're learning and utilize them out when they're not in the group. And it's so beautiful to see. It's so beautiful that the participants share their tools with one another, and then they utilize them, and they have all these aha moments, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful to see. And then the ones that leave and don't come back, and see how amazingly they've done.
Yeah, and I'd imagine it's for some, just to bear witness to other people in the same place as you're at, I can imagine in some ways can like calm your system a bit, right? It's that who are we when we're together?
And what a place to is that, you know, I wanted to say too, is to provide structure. There's no judgment. You can show up as you are. Like, I know for me, I can go, because I go to groups too. It's such a great place that I can go and I can laugh and giggle, and no one's going to say to me, oh, you're laughing, so you must, today must be a good day. It's like, no, I feel like crap today, but just because I smiled or laughed doesn't mean that I'm having a good day. But in these peer support groups, they all understand that we're laughing doesn't, you know, and I can show up and look like crap, I didn't do my hair, and they all understand. You know, or yeah. I'm laughing doesn't mean, oh, you must feel good today, you know? And so that's just the beauty of it. Or you can be laying in your bed and no one thinks anything of it. Mm-hmm. Have an eye mask on. I can wear an eye mask the whole day and no one thinks anything of it. It's just, you just show up as you are, or lose your words halfway through and no one thinks anything of it. It's just such a, you know, you're not, there's no judgment.
Yeah, there's that understanding and empathy that you gain, like, living with something like this. That's what I've come to realize. And I think the biggest compliment I've gotten in groups is actually, it's nonverbal. So it's when someone feels safe enough to share that they break down and cry, and they're doing this in front of, you know, maybe a group of 10 strangers. Like, that's powerful to me. And I always make sure, you know, because there's a lot of times they get apologetic. They're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, don't be sorry at all. Like, thank you for sharing, you know, thank you for being vulnerable, sharing your humanity with me and with the group, because it's so important, because then that makes other people feel like they can do the same thing and they're not cutting that part of themselves off or holding back what needs to come out.
Yeah. And we need so much more of that.
And you gain a lot of perspective too. Sometimes you got to get out of your own way sometimes too, and be like, you get a lot of perspective, because there's all ranges, you know, too. And that helps sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't want to pick out on the guys, because women need to get out of their own way often too. I'm at the top of that list. And so is the men's group that you guys are doing, is it a national group? Or, okay, that one is national. So if people are interested, how would they get involved?
Sure. To join our men's group, it meets the first Wednesday of the month, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. The best way to find all of our groups and the men's group as well is to go to uspainfoundation.org, the events tab that's at the top of the website. You can see all of our groups there.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, so if someone, and I'm going to ask you, Ryan, if someone is thinking about joining or joining another support group, and they are maybe a little hesitant, what would your advice be for them?
I would say the hardest part of starting anything new is just taking that first step. Because there's always the process of thinking about it and then taking action. And that, like, first step is so challenging for most people. But once you take that first step, the other ones that come after it are so much easier. So once you're, you know, you decide, I'm going to try this out, your mind might freak out a bit. You might have that fear, that, you know, butterfly feeling, like you're afraid to share these parts of yourself. But I think just really, you know, trusting your heart instead of your mind, because the mind is providing this false sense of protection, and you don't need any protection to share who you are, you know, to share who you are as a human. You're not going to face judgment. You're not going to face, you know, somebody who's not compassionate in group, because we're all struggling with something similar. So I really think it's just getting out of your head, following your heart, and taking that first step is the hardest part.
Yeah. I often say you have to lead with your heart, because once you have a thought, the thought starts thinking for itself. Sarah, what advice would you give?
Our groups are for everyone. There, you'll meet, whether you come to share or just listen or build your toolbox, it's like salve It's like salve to a wound. You'll meet like-minded and like-bodied people. And I believe me, you'll find your home. You'll find your people. You'll hear things that you'll have so many aha moments, or, oh, I do that too. I see that too, or I do that too. And they're like, people are in your head when you're there. You're like, do they read my diary? Are they reading my diary? Do they have a camera in my house? It is just, it's a wonderful place to be. And it's just, yes, it's just logging on. It's just taking that first step and just knowing that, you know, there's people out there. And that's what they usually say when they're here, they're the first time. And we have first timers all the time. I think I had 4 this morning in my group, and they're just, once they go, they're like, I'm so glad I was here. It's just, I just had to go and do it. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. And some of it's hard work, right? That's the showing up piece is hard. Can you talk me through just a couple of like topics or how a meeting goes? Because I think it's really interesting. And I think sometimes the mechanics of these things are more scary to people than anything else.
Absolutely. So we start our groups with a welcome, and we let you know what's happening for the day, where you can find all of our groups. And then we read our support group rules just so that we're all on the same page. And then I always read, I have a topic. So like this month, our topic of the month for our groups are resilience and rolling with the punches. So our national groups are that way. And then some of our state groups, if the state group leaders decide to use that as their topic of the month, they'll be talking about rolling with the punches. And then they'll have a little monologue. And then I make them questions so that they're all asking different questions. And so then a peer leader will ask a question. They'll, you know, pose a question to the group. And then they'll ask if anyone, you know, once they pose the question, the participants, they'll ask to use the reaction feature to raise their hand. And or if it's a smaller group, then they can just raise their hand. All our support group, our participants are muted so that it's not just a free for all. So people are talking over others. So it's quiet in nature. It's a safe space. And then, you know, the participants ask. And we repeat the question frequently. So it's not like you just hear it once and you're like, what the heck are we talking about? And it's just a nice flow back and forth. And then at the end, our groups are now an hour, so it's not a ton of sitting and stuff like that. And then we end and you're on your way. And when you register for our groups, you can click to have the reminder email sent to you each month, so you don't have to think, oh, when the heck is it? Our men's group is a specialized group. I did want to say that, but it's open nationally.
Right.
Everyone. Yeah.
All right. Last question. It's 2 questions. Is there anything I missed that we didn't cover that we should have covered?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think just. Go ahead. Just I had one thing at the last, I don't know if we really covered it, but what men should take away from this conversation about the value of peer support and chronic illness.
That was going to be my next one, but
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. So this is a big one for me. I think really, I just wanted to say to the men out there that are struggling with a chronic illness or chronic pain that you are not alone. You know, you're not alone. You are valuable and worthy. There is hope out there. And you can still live a fulfilling life with a chronic illness because there's so many people out there that are struggling with similar things. It may not be the exact same thing you have, but the overlap is undeniable. Like once you step into a group, you immediately see how many things we have in common. Like, we'll talk about a topic and then you'll have four people that are nodding, they're laughing, they're smiling because they understand exactly what situation you're going through. So I feel that these support groups can start to help you shift the mindset of living as a victim to becoming empowered and surrendering, you know, to what you're going through and embracing this change, no matter how difficult it is. And it's easier said than done, but it's a good start in group.
I wanted to add to that too. Ryan just said it so beautifully. All I had to add is our peer leaders are walking the pain journey with you. They have pain conditions and all the overlapping conditions as well. So when you go, they're your peer. They understand what it's like to have to, what it used to be like prior to pain. So they know what it's like. So, you know, they're going through what you're going through and can empathize and sympathize. And so I think that's a really big thing. So you're truly not alone. They see you, they hear you, they understand.
Yeah. And that kind of community is so hard. It can be so hard to find. That's beautiful. On that note, I'm going to let you out of the hot seat. This has been truly, there's so much here that I apologize for being a little off. There was a lot for me coming up, just as someone who's been on this journey and seen men on this journey too. And I'm so grateful for both of you that you take the time to do this work and that you both are feeling better for sure. That's finding relief and helping others is always this beautiful, graceful thing that most of us, many of us, maybe some, maybe more than half, but many of us, I don't think we'll ever see. And I'm sure there are many people that would say this, but deeply grateful for your work and appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Thank you.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit, educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.